cardiac MRI is something that is that we're just now starting to use. And the question has been, is there a correlation between the cardiac involvement and the progression of their lung disease? So this, at a recent meeting, this abstract looked at the cardiac MRIs changes, subclinical disease. So these patients could not have more than two cardiovascular risk factors. They couldn't have diabetes. They couldn't have known cardiovascular disease. So it was looking at these patients with systemic sclerosis who really did not have evidence of clinical heart disease. What did the subclinical findings on the cardiac MRI mean with regards to their overall prognosis? So 31 patients were evaluated for a mean follow-up of 33 months. Four of these patients had a non-ischemic pattern suggesting focal fibrosis, again, a change on that cardiac MRI, and no change between visit one and visit two. So the changes that they had initially did not progress over the period of time of the study. At visit two, two other patients showed fibrosis, and one actually had myocarditis, which is a rare complication in systemic sclerosis. So what we're seeing in these patients who had those subclinical changes on MRI, that all of them had diffuse cutaneous systemic sclerosis with interstitial lung disease, and two of them actually had a positive SCL70 antibody, which is characteristic for systemic sclerosis. And what was found was that a reduction in forced vital capacity and total lung capacity was associated with a reduction in left ventricular ejection fraction and also in the myocardial perfusion reserve. So those patients who had a reduction in their lung function also had a reduction in their cardiac function. What was also interesting from my point of view is that a group of patients were treated with DMARDs, and these patients, of course, were ones who already had more severe disease based on their lung function, but these patients also had a higher baseline and diastolic volume. Interestingly, to me anyway, was that no significant change was seen in the cardiac MRI in patients who are on vasodilators or ACE inhibitor treatment. So when I'm thinking about these patients, I'm thinking, that do they have any endothelial dysfunction so that that should get better on a cardiac MRI? And those changes were not seen. So the changes that were seen on the MRI weren't related to endothelial dysfunction, but really more to either inflammation with the myocarditis or scar tissue. So just like systemic sclerosis causes changes in the skin, it also can cause fibrotic changes in the heart. The good news was that the cardiac MRI changes were very slow over that 33-month period of time, and those patients did show progression, really had poor prognostic factors. And that these patients, again, who were on DMARDs, actually had a more significant decline. So it appeared that the DMARDs really did not make a big difference in the change in the cardiac MRI, but overall, the change over the 33 months was small, suggesting that what was going on subclinically-wise was certainly very slow changes. Certainly, we know that in scleroderma interstitial lung disease, that about 30% of the patients progress. So if we're looking at different treatment decisions, the question is, if the patient is progressing, are they going to continue to progress over a period of time? And is there any correlation so we can use that information to determine treatment, but also be able to talk to the patients about prognosis, because most of these patients realize that scleroderma and interstitial lung disease is certainly a serious condition and are very concerned about their prognosis. So this study, the purpose was to the predictive ability of lung function over 12 months, whether it is able to predict further decline in lung function in these patients with scleroderma and interstitial lung disease. So the lung function decline was assessed by an absolute change in forced vital capacity percentage that was predicted. So moderate progression was defined as a forced vital capacity decrease of 5 to 10%. Significant progression of interstitial lung disease was a decline of more than 10% at 12 months. So what was looked at was if there are certain predictors, are these predictors helpful in determining which patient's lung function is going to decline over time and therefore which patients would need to be treated. So there were things like scleroderma antibodies, the duration of their disease, what their baseline functional vital capacity was, the extent of their pulmonary fibrosis, looking at their CRP, if they had GERD, their tendon friction rub, and their O2 desaturation. So all things that in the past have been correlated with a decline in lung function. All of these patients were treated with mycophenolate mofetil, cyclophosphamide, rituximab, or tocilizumab. So there were 240 patients with systemic sclerosis in this study, which is a very big number. 20% of them showed a progressive decline in the first 12 months, 14% with moderate, and 35% with a significant functional vital capacity decline. I mean, these are, you know, significant changes over the 12 months. But what was seen was that this was the independent of FVC changes, functional vital capacity changes in the first period. 32% showed progression in the second period, 18% showed moderate, and 14% showed significant decline. So if we're looking at what happened in the first period, there was actually not a correlation between what happened in the second period. So if we're trying to use how the patient is doing when we see them and say, gosh, your functional vital capacity declined over these 12 months, I better, you know, change your therapy, whether it's prednisone or mycophenolate, et cetera, there was no correlation between what happened in the first period and what happened in the second period. So we really can't use that change in functional vital capacity decline as a predictor of what's going to happen in the future.